Hey, Prime members, you can listen to That Scene with Dan Patrick ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Just a heads up, there's some questionable or inappropriate language in this episode, so be advised, you may not want the kids to be listening to this one with you.
I am so glad we invited the Chippewas to join us for this holiday meal. Remember, these savages are our guests.
We cannot break bread with you.
Huh? Becky, what's going on?
Wednesday!
You have taken the land which is rightfully ours. Years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes, on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims.
And for all these reasons, I've decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground.
The tone of the film really did exist on set. You know, this sort of like glee in doing something that was off and not regular and mischievous, and that we were allowed to do all these things and to have fun doing them, I think, is something that exists when you watch the films and something that existed when we were making them.
Welcome to That Scene with me, Dan Patrick, an Amazon original podcast where I get to talk to Hollywood's top actors and directors about some of the most iconic scenes that have defined their careers, helped shape the cinematic landscape, and even become fixtures in pop culture. On today's show, we're joined by actress Christina Ricci. She was born in 1980, grew up in Montclair, New Jersey, where she began acting professionally at the age of 8. Her debut feature film was opposite Winona Ryder and Cher in the 1990 film Mermaids. In 1991, she was cast in Barry Sonnenfeld's The Addams Family as Wednesday Addams. The film was a smash hit at the box office, earning over $190 million on a $30 million budget. As Christina grew older, she began to take on more serious and complicated roles in films like Buffalo 66, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and Pecker. In 2003, she starred opposite Charlize Theron in the Oscar-winning film Monster, directed by Patty Jenkins. Christina is currently starring in the Showtime series Yellowjackets, which debuts Sunday, November 14th. The scene in question today comes from Addams Family Values, where Wednesday is forced to participate in the camp Thanksgiving play, but instead decides to go off script and lead a revolt against the pilgrims. The Thanksgiving scene. Did you understand the humor, the messaging in there?
I did. I had older siblings who had expressed their dislike for Thanksgiving. My mother had a very fun, sarcastic, dry, worldly sense of humor. And I was 13. I understood and I got it and I got the message.
We just love Chippewa. Amanda couldn't wait. It's all she talked about. She's got a whole new wardrobe. And this little lady?
Oh, Wednesday's at that very special age when a girl has only one thing on her mind.
Boys.
Homicide.
When's the last time you watched The Addams Family?
Probably a year ago with my son.
And?
He liked it a lot. I think that he would like those movies, though, if I wasn't in them as well. You know, he just really likes the tone. He likes how mischievous they are in nature. He gets it. And I think that's why most people respond to those movies, actually.
Pugsley, the baby weighs 10 pounds. The cannonball weighs 20 pounds. Which will hit the stone walkway first?
I'm still on fractions.
Which do you think?
The cannonball?
Very good. But which one will bounce?
What was your favorite thing about playing Wednesday?
Well, it was fun. And the tone of the film, or the both films, really did exist on set. You know, this sort of like glee in doing something that was off and not regular and mischievous, and that we were allowed to do all these things and to have fun doing them, I think, is something that exists when you watch the films and something that existed when we were making them.
Barry Sonnenfeld's approach to directing, what made it unique?
Well, Barry was amazing. I mean, Barry comes from the world of being a DP, like a brilliant DP. And so the technical things that he did and the way he shot everything, and it felt like real filmmaking. It wasn't just like, go do the scene, emote, and we'll catch you here and there. It was sort of these elaborate staged shots and sets. And so it felt very grand. And that was really fun to be a part of.
What was the casting like?
So the casting process was very much like any other one at the time. I was about 9 years old. And I would go into the city after school. We lived in New Jersey, and go into New York with my mom and do like 3 or 4 auditions an afternoon. And I didn't want to go to the Addams Family audition because I had just come from a very emotionally draining like third callback. And my mom was like, this one is easy. Just go, you know, it's great. This will be great. Like Wednesday has no emotion. And of course, I had never seen the TV shows or the cartoons, so I had no idea. And she basically was just like, just be deadpan and you'll be fine and you don't have to give anything. So that's what I did. It feels like it was like 3 months later, but it was probably only about a month later. They called me in for a callback and that was it.
What's the reaction like when you do get the role that you didn't really want to audition for?
Well, once I went to the audition and I got the sides, I thought they were really fun and I really enjoyed the audition. So then, of course, I wanted, you know, it's like anything else. The second you actually try, then you want it really badly. So I always wanted everything I auditioned for. And so I really wanted this and got it. And, you know, of course, it's a big movie and I understood that. So I was thrilled when I got that part.
Hey, how about a first little pair of life-saving buddies? Amanda, Wednesday.
Is that your bathing suit? Is that your overbite?
Now, one of you will be the drowning victim, and the other one gets to be our lifesaver.
I'll be the victim.
All your life.
Well, people normally change around you. Sometimes the person doesn't change. It's everybody around you. What was that like? You're on, you know, you're in a big blockbuster movie, and did you feel like people changed around you and how they viewed you?
Not really when I was that age. I also think that fame was a really different thing then because we didn't have the internet. There wasn't social media. So when I went back to my hometown in New Jersey and I just saw the same people who'd known me since I was very young and they didn't change. They were children. I knew not to talk about the movies that I had done or the work that I had been doing when I was away. Because I saw early on that the other kids viewed it as bragging or something of that nature. So I very much would just come back and slip into being a kid. And so I didn't really experience that much difference from other people. Occasionally I would go to like the mall or something and people would recognize me. But even then, it didn't happen that often. I don't think people expected to see somebody recognizable at the mall in Paramus.
I've been to the Paramus Mall, by the way. I've never seen anybody famous.
Yeah, it's a lovely mall, though.
What do people say when they see you on the street? What's the first thing that comes up?
People usually say I look just like Christina Ricci. That's I think, the most common one.
And your response is?
It's a moment of, like, complete panic for me. Like, how do I do this correctly every single time? And now I usually just say, well, I am Christina Ricci.
I have people who will say, you know, you sound just like Dan Patrick. And I go, yeah, thank you. and then they go, are you? And then I go, yeah, I am. And then they go, oh, okay, you sound just like you sound on the radio or TV. And I go, yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works.
That's good sound quality.
Yeah. Do you have people who give you lines back that you used in movies?
Yeah, definitely. And I do conventions and signings. And so people always want me to put quotes on pictures and stuff.
Like what?
Well, like all the Addams Family ones and the ones from Sleepy Hollow.
You got a favorite one that you?
I don't. I intentionally don't remember them so that I can never be asked to come up with my own.
As your new nanny, I know that we're all concerned about the environment. So, this morning, let's discuss how to prevent forest fires.
Prevent them?
I was also wondering about Monster with Charlize Theron's transformation that normally we celebrate when a man does this. You know, Robert De Niro does Raging Bull, and it's like, oh my God, the transformation. You gain a lot of weight or lose a lot of weight. What did you make when you saw Charlize's transformation?
When I first saw, because we do makeup tests, like a day or two of makeup and hair and wardrobe tests before we shoot on everything. And when I first went in, I was doing my makeup and hair tests, and I saw the pictures of what they were doing to her. I was like, but this was just like your most extreme try, right? You're not actually going to do this to her. It was what they were going to do to her. And it was really amazing. And the fact that she did it wasn't what to me was the most shocking or surprising. It was that she really was comfortable with it and it didn't affect her. It didn't seem to. You know, for example, like with Yellow Jackets, my character is not cute and we did things to make her unattractive. And I still had days where I was like, ugh, do I really want to look like this? And Charlize never had that, which was really impressive.
Did that story need to come from a female director then?
I think so. I think, again, it's one of those movies that's so brilliant because it really occupies the gray area in life. It reflects how things are not black and white ever. And at that time, a woman would have had a better understanding of the things that could turn a person to that sort of behavior.
What are you talking about?
You can stop, Lee.
Stop what?
You can stop the game.
I am out there trying my best, okay?
Yeah, why did you quit hooking?
Because I needed to, all right?
Because you thought I was stupid enough to support you!
No, Shelby! No,
that you wouldn't even have to fuck me to get it because I'm so hard up.
No, no, Shelby, that is not the reason.
You said that we were going to party, Lee. Well, this has been a fucking party!
I know, okay, Shelby?
What
no,
are you talking about it? Nothing, when I tell you that I'm starving.
Because, all right, I just...
Because you're using me.
No, I...
Because you're fucking using me!
Because I fucking killed someone, all right?
And Patty Jenkins' approach, how different was it than maybe other films that you worked on?
I loved working with Patty. I don't know what the main difference was, but she'd never felt like somebody who needed to be in control or have all the power or always be right. That's so great because really, when you're making art, to have too much ego involved is a bit difficult.
When you... are around all these directors, like at I don't know if it's subconscious or by proxy where you all of a sudden go, I would like to do that, or I'd like to look at a film from that angle. When does that start to maybe seep in that you'd like to do that?
You mean to direct?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've wanted to direct for a really long time. I do have plans to do something finally this year. And I don't think it happens to everybody. I think lots of people don't want to be directors and are happy doing different things on films. But for me, I've always wanted to do it, but I've always also really respected how much responsibility that is. And I've never taken it lightly. So I think it's been a long time for me to come to a place where I feel like I could actually carry the weight.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
You keep anything from your movies?
You know, everybody was always discouraged from taking things. You'd hear horrible stories about horrible people who stole things. So I was good and I never took anything.
Wait, you couldn't take the outfit you wore?
No, you're not really allowed to unless it's in your contract.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in over 20 Sandler movies, and I should let him know that I've taken most of the outfits that I wore.
They're trashing you to everyone they know right now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but he keeps hiring me back to be in.
So clearly, you know, it's all fine.
To do cameos. What do you remember learning, if anything, from Cher in Mermaids? What was that, a year earlier?
That was my first movie, and she was incredible. Really took me under her wing, and I spent most of the production with her and her trailer on set, asking her questions. She told me everything I wanted to know. She was really amazing. It was eye-opening for me because I was really little. I had only really known the small towns that I had lived in. And I was suddenly exposed to people from all over the world and all these things that I had never really seen before. So it was quite an education.
Well, that's nothing. A kid in school had an uncle who died and got burned up and sprinkled in a garden.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nothing. St. Margaret of Antioch, she lived as a shepherdess and she got eaten by this dragon and it burst.
When I die, I'm going to be sprinkled in the ocean. I don't care if a whale eats me. I could live inside a whale like Jonah with an angel guard.
Girls.
Yeah, well, what if you get a whale that doesn't have a living room inside and you end up in someone's tuna fish sandwich?
Who are these people?
Does acting choose you or do you choose acting?
Well, it chose me, but I don't know that that is true for everyone, of course. But for me, I was discovered as a child, and I knew that it was something I had a sort of natural aptitude for, but I didn't know that it would be the thing I would do the rest of my life.
When did you realize that it was going to be what you wanted to do?
I think probably when I was like 17. I started making movies, because after Addams Family, I did a lot of family films. And I am and I wasn't really the kind of person that loved family films. So I was sort of making That Darn Cat, but really loved Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and didn't love the work I was doing, to be honest. But once I started doing independent films and the films that I was doing lined up with my taste, then I sort of really started loving it and thought, this is something I could really do forever.
But do you purposely sort of get as far away from family movies? So you do Fear and Loathing or Buffalo 66?
I've never really been somebody who is very good at doing things I didn't like. For me, like if I was going to four different auditions and two of them are rom-coms and two of them are sort of darker dramas or comedies, I was naturally going to excel at the ones that I preferred, which were the darker dramas or comedies.
Can I get a kiss goodbye?
No. Don't start trouble. Don't start evil. I didn't say I'd give you a kiss. I said I'd get you a hot chocolate, okay? So, I'm gonna go.
Can I have a hug then?
Oh, man. Let me just shake hands.
Is there a, like a dream role, dream director, dream topic that you have?
I mean, there are so many people I would love to work with. I mean, I would love to work with Tilda Swinton. I would love to work with the Coen brothers. There are so many people.
I could see you with the Coen brothers.
Be great.
Yes, I could see that. And they have certain characters or they have the personality in all those characters that they're really unique. And then I think Barry shot Blood Simple and Raising Arizona.
He shot a lot of their really incredible movies.
Yeah, I loved Raising Arizona.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's just absolutely batshit crazy. And then and Nicolas Cage and Holly Hunter were just spectacular.
Yeah, they're
there.
But, so good.
Yeah, I could have. Now, do you reach out to these people? How do you get feelers out that you would like to work with somebody?
I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure we do that. I think that we just wait till there's opportunities, till like agents get the character breakdowns for projects, and then they suggest you to the casting directors. Oh. I think that's how it works.
Oh, so you can't hire a plane with a banner or anything like that?
I think that people have tried that in the past and it hasn't gone down well. I think there's like a level of playing it cool.
Do you still have to audition for roles?
I do quite a bit of auditioning, yeah. I also am not the best auditioner. I get very anxious and nervous now that I'm older. I was great when I was a kid. And now that I'm older, I kind of get in my own way a lot. And they also are always making us self-tape now. Now that you can self-tape, they make you do it all the time. And I just hate it so much. I feel like I sabotage all of my self-tapes.
Okay, explain that process, though, of self-taping.
They literally want you at home to record yourself doing the audition, whereas we used to go to a place and you'd sit down and there'd be a video camera set up and someone would read with you. And now you have to do it yourself at home and upload it to this link that is not secure, by the way. Because I also produce things, I have been on the link casting people. And I have seen how it's not secure. They don't protect your auditions at all. So I've seen people do really embarrassing things that I know they wouldn't want everyone else to see. So I think my resentment comes out in my self-tapes.
But does your husband help you?
I don't really like acting with people I know. I get like embarrassed. It's weird. I hate it because I'd rather read with a stranger, to tell you the truth.
So you don't have somebody you know feeding you lines or bouncing things off of you?
Like they have people who you can pay to do the self-tapes with you, to read with you. And I literally go to somebody else because I don't like reading with someone who knows me in my personal life. It feels really weird.
But are you confident when you're on this? Like some people, I'll use a sports analogy. Somebody who plays football and you talk to them, they have the nicest, softest voice and seem like pleasant people, and then they get on the football field and they're maniacs.
I feel no anxiety whatsoever when they call rolling or action, or I feel very comfortable in front of the camera.
Have you ever tried to explain that or understand that?
Well, I think that I have a healthy sense of when I'm sort of mixing real life and my fake professional life, you know what I mean? And when elements from the wrong life come into the other one, it gets very, it gets tricky.
So I saw some of your TV project, Yellow Jackets, and I came away with a lot of questions. How would you describe this show?
Yellow Jackets is about a group of high school soccer players, very talented athletes, in 1996, who are on their way to some sort of championship. I'm not clear if it's national or bigger than that, but either way, they take a private plane and the plane crashes and they are stranded in the wilderness. And we cut between what happens in that time and the present. And as far as we know, there are four survivors, and we cut between their story as 40-year-old women and what happened when they were stranded. And it's very, very intense and dramatic, and there's supernatural elements to the place where they crash. Just sort of the specific personality types of the women lead to really horrendous things, and the adults then sort of reflect the trauma of what happened when they were children. Well, young adults, I guess, not children.
What drew you to the project?
I really like the concept. This story, these women sort of occupy a space that previously has only been reserved for young men and boys in terms of the nature of the material, the brutality of it, the horror, the intensity. I also really liked that we have four adult women who, you know, before, and I've been an actress for 30 years, you know, 10 years ago, for women in film and television, you either had to be relatable, likable, or the absolute villain. And in this show, these women are not good people, but they're interesting anyway, and we follow them anyway, and they are allowed to be complicated sort of messes of characters. And they're highly entertaining, and, you know, we don't have to like them. Well, they don't have to pander for our affection, I guess. And that's what I really liked.
But do you prefer playing likable, relatable, or the villain?
I don't like playing likable, relatable. I think it's really boring that everybody seems to have to see themselves in someone else to be interested in their story.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting that I don't know if it's a seismic shift, but it feels like there's a shift where now women are allowed to play a lot of different roles, or at least in a lot of different ways. Do you see something that happened or a movie that maybe started to change that in Hollywood?
I think it started changing over time. And I do think that really putting women in positions of power and more creative control is what changed all of this. Because, you know, when you're writing, what's the first rule of writing that we all kind of have stereotypically heard? Write what you know. And so if you have women writing, they're going to be writing the reality of female characters. If you have women executives, they're going to be approving that writing. I think that's really what happened over the past couple of years. And this industry is interesting in that it changes at lightning speed. So we now really are seeing this intense change in the kind of material and characters that women are playing.
Are you a villain in Yellow Jackets?
Well, no, nobody is really good or bad, which is what's really fun. My character definitely is on the more extreme end of behavior. She's somebody who has no real social currency. You know, she's not cute. She's not funny. She's not, quote unquote, normal. She's socially incredibly awkward. And just from the time she was a child, has always just wanted to be involved and wanted to be liked and wanted to have all the things socially that everybody else has, because, of course, she's at a deficit. Through the rejection over the years, when we see her finally as an adult, she has developed a very intense mode of operation in order to eke out what power and standing she can have in her little box.
Well, good luck with Yellow Jackets. It looks fascinating. And congratulations on your success. Christina, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
New episodes of That Scene are available exclusively on Amazon Music, and all of Season 1 is available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure you follow us in the Amazon Music app. That Scene with Dan Patrick, created, hosted, produced by me. Our showrunner and producer is Brendan Pike, edited by Nathan Moody. The show is executive produced by Paul Anderson, Nick Pinella, and Andrew Greenwood. Our associate producers, Bill Ryan and Marvin Prince. That Scene is an Amazon original and a production of Dan Patrick Productions.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to That Scene with Dan Patrick ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.